devo dire che nel no.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show this week. I was recently on Vision Preparedness's YouTube channel, and we had such a good conversation. I wanted to play that for the podcast today. I was on with Vision as well as Pete from the Roaming Prepper, and we talked about the things that are going on at the southern border, the people of interest, the Gotaways people of interest. It's funny how they give these nice names to everything these days. They can't say Gotaway terrorists or potential terrorists or potential enemies or anything like that. So they just call them special interest Gotaways. At any rate, we talked about what that could mean for us on an individual level and as well as the country. And it's pretty interesting. It was a good conversation because it's not just, you know, people from South America now. It's not just people from China. You've got people from Europe. You've got people from the Middle East. So there's all different, a bunch of different things that could happen potentially. And all of these bad actors would have different goals in mind. So somebody coming from China may be espionage or something like that, whereas somebody from the Middle East may want to have mass casualties or mass destruction. It really just depends on who is coming through the border. It's just a really good conversation. And we also talked about what that would mean to us on a personal level and went into a bunch of different things that kind of stem from that. So just a really good conversation. At any rate, I don't want to talk about the whole show, do a whole show talking about the show. We'll get into the show with Vision today. But really good show, and I hope you all enjoy it.
With that, folks, I'm going to bring up my amazing guest we have with us tonight, the survivalist prepper, who is an amazing guy, and also the roaming prepper. Welcome, guys. How's everybody doing tonight?
What's going on, Vision? Doing good.
Good to see you. How are you this evening, Dale?
Doing good. Busy day. Good. 15 different projects and all that kind of crap going on, but yeah. Keep busy.
Absolutely. How about you, Pete? How's everything with you?
Man, my schedule is garbage this week. my lives are everywhere. My short videos are everywhere. It's been busy. It's been good from that respect, but a lot's going on, man.
Absolutely. Virginia Bushcrafter, welcome in. Hope you're doing well today. Don't you know? Hello from Wisconsin. Temperature reached 80 degrees today. That's good. Look at this right here. I think I know this lady, VP's Chica. Hello, everyone. Just listening in. Much love to everybody. Isn't that special? She spoke in the chat, but she's always here. And I think she's hanging out with Cole. So that'll be an interesting conversation after the live. Before we dive into this, guys, tell everybody who you are. Tell them about your channel. If I have any ghost linking, do me a favor. Could you drop a link to the Survivalist Prepper and to the Roaming Prepper? Folks, if you have not subscribed to their channel, please do so while I sit here and fight with this stupid logo all night.
If you slide a little bit, maybe we'll...
No, yeah. Hey, you got to figure out some sort of placeholder to put up there.
Exactly.
Out of the way, so... That, and I feel a little uncomfortable. I got this big screen over here, like I'm in the spotlight.
Well, let's see. Let's see what we can do. Can we do?
Oh, hey, that's better.
That may work. Okay, look at that. EV Mux in the building. All right, gentlemen, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
After you, Dale.
I run Survivalist Prepper. I've got the YouTube channel, Survivalist Prepper on YouTube. I've got the website, Survivalist Prepper. I've got my Preparedness Academy. It's my community for just the group of people that I put together and that have kind of joined in, not necessarily I put together, but we've all sort of gotten together over at thebugoutlocation.net. But that's my main thing is the YouTube channel, the podcast, articles every once in a while, although I really hate writing, so the articles are pretty far and few between. I'd rather just sit on the with the camera and run my gums, so I do quite a bit on YouTube and all that, but that's what I do. Survivalist Prepper, wherever. I mean, I've been doing it for a while, so just put it in the search engine and you'll be able to to find me all over the place.
And you just celebrated 10 years or 15?
Yeah, you guys put together a pretty cool little video of that. It kind of surprised me because I'm not one. I don't like all the attention and all that. But when I saw that, you know, it gets you. You're like, holy crap, this is kind of cool. All these people, fans, other, you know, creators, other people in the preparedness niche. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, 10 years, way different than what it was when I first started. I'll tell you that.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
especially these days.
Exactly. Pete, go ahead. Tell everybody.
Sure. So roaming prepper, because I at one point traveled everywhere. Four continents, 15 cities in like 18 months. It was just insane. Anyway, I'm an engineer, been in the energy sector for, God, over a quarter of a century, which is just horrifying to think about. And a former guardsman, former shelter manager, and just trying to share knowledge and, you know, keep everyone's head above water, same as these two gentlemen.
I think the water level's about right here. You know, lately I've drank, at least a couple glasses every now and again, but, we do what we can. And that's what we do. So let's dive into this. Folks, people of interest are crossing our borders. And I find that statement concerning yet elusive, because people of interest. Now, I want to share a quick article and we'll see how this pans out. And I'm going to drag this up here. So, and of course, I'll put a link to this article in the chat and you guys can read it for yourself if you like. Thousands of people of special interest aliens from the Middle East countries are stopped at the southern border since 2021. Now, that really concerns me. And I just started digging. In 2022, they, and for those listening, I'm doing air quotes, the Border Patrol stopped and detained 18 immigrants that were on the so-called terror watch list. 18. In 2023, 160 were stopped and detained because they were on the terror watch list. Now, over 100,000 documented migrants have come across our borders. And here's my thing. What happens to the ones that are undocumented? And how many? And with that, I'm going to let these gentlemen comment on that. You know, what, first of all, the border crisis in itself.
Yeah. You want to take this, Peter? You want me to go?
No, go for it, man.
I just think it's far different than even just a year or two ago, especially with the things going on in the Middle East. They already hate our guts anyway. And now with all the tensions that are going on, you've got China. Michael Yan, I follow him on Twitter and I see him all the time. And he talks about the same thing, but people from China, fighting aged men, those types of things coming over. So you've got those. Then you've got that the people in the Middle East that are just aching to get in here and do something. So it's not necessarily just the fact, it's not the economic reasons of, you know, having all these people coming over that are going to be dependent on the government. It's far worse than that these days, I think. And it's almost what baffles me is why they almost it seems like they just ignore it, like they don't want to do anything about it. Maybe behind the scenes, they're trying to figure something out. They see what a big issue it is. But it's almost like inviting it in, like the open sign is on and you've got all these other countries, you know, forget Venezuela, all these South American countries. You got these other countries that see that as well. And if they have an opportunity to get in here without having to go through TSA and all that crap, it just, you know, what's going on. It's how much of it's going on and what is being planned behind the scenes is my concern. And what does that mean? And I'm sure we'll get into this later. What does that mean for here, for us here in the United States?
Exactly. Exactly. Pete?
I think it's to add to what Dale just said, it's frustrating. You know, I have professional colleagues who are from Colombia, spent 5 years to get their green card because they did it the right way. I have a friend who fled Venezuela.
Okay.
5 years, roughly, same thing. Cuban immigrants who fled the communism, you know, took them 3 years to get their documents. Folks who are doing it the right way, or it's almost like they're rewarding being doing it the wrong way.
Right.
But we're not vetting them. And I think we've all talked about this in the background with the texts and the emails among all the creators. 9/11 was pulled off by what, 13 guys in the plane, 11 and maybe another dozen on the ground providing logistics, food, money, apartments, you know, under 25, 30 people did that. What would 300 do? And we don't know who's here. The first two weeks of October on the Texas border, they stopped, you know, they said it was 100 from Iran and, you know, 50 from Russia and 30 from Afghanistan. And then 2,000 from China, from the special interest groups. The 2,000 from China literally dwarfed everyone else added together. Why are they coming in like this?
Yeah.
And they're clean shaven, new clothes. I don't know much about migrating, but if I walked from downtown to my house, I'd look awful.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's only a couple hour walk.
Right.
So if I just came across the whole damn country of Mexico, where are you getting new clothes from? Why do you look so fresh? Is something's not right.
And China, their government's so shady anyway. It may not be that they're coming over to blow up a power station or something like that, but it could be spy. I mean, there's so many different things that the Chinese could and probably are doing, you know, espionage type things that and we're just cool with it. Yeah, just, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
we love China.
And that's the thing that gets me. And there was a comment, you know, why? I think it was CUCV Farmer said, you know, why are we helping secure borders in other countries and not our own border?
Yeah, that's this administration, man.
Yes. Well,
let's leave 10,000 rifles in Afghanistan for people who don't like us. Let's ship another 10,000 to Israel to help them, but let's take our lawful citizens' firearms.
Of course. Yeah, they want to take ours away and leave them all over the place.
That's the most frustrating part to me is I don't mind helping other people out, just like the immigration. I don't mind that. It gets to a point where it's not sustainable, though.
No.
And if you're helping out other countries, you know, that's great. We're the big boy on the block, right? But don't just completely forget about the American citizens. And that feels like what they're doing right now. We are a complete afterthought with everything else, whether it's the money laundering crap going on in Europe. I'm not going to say I don't want to jack your channel up, but all the other things that are going on. Hollywood is in bed with China, all this stuff going on. But us here, us average Americans, it's like we're forgotten about. You're on your own, buddy, is what it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, for all the content creators in the chat, if you type the word vision, it will drop a link to your channel. Folks, check out these amazing content creators in the chat. Go over, watch some of their videos, watch content, leave a like, and leave a comment. And if you like what they're doing, subscribe to their channel, because we all grow together. Nobody can do it by themselves. And that's how we grow together, because at the end of the day, it's just us. You know, I really don't get it. It's to me almost like this administration is doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was an article last week that talked about Grandpa Ice Cream is going to reinstate securing the border. Why
did
now?
Say not another inch of that wall, not under my watch or something like that?
That's what he said. Yeah, exactly.
He was preaching to a segment of his voting bloc.
Yeah.
And now they've lost control of the apple cart. I think one of you guys, I don't know who I said it to, it might have been Trent. It's like they were pushing this apple cart, and eventually they're going to lose control like a kid in the grocery store. Yeah. And then they go chasing that cart. We're already chasing the cart.
Right.
And I think that's what he's trying to do. They've realized what a fiasco. If something happens within our borders, that's going to land solely on these leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think they care. They'll blame it on something else, or the former president, or some other craziness like the border patrol. They'll blame it on everybody but themselves.
The border patrol, that's 40% Latinos.
Exactly.
But they're all racists.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what kills me.
It doesn't. Racism doesn't matter anymore in the government. They'll cry racism. I don't care what it is. A tree, whatever. A star up in the sky. It doesn't. Yeah. If it works to get their point across, that's what they'll do. But they don't really give a crap. And I think you're spot on. I think I even mentioned it earlier when I was talking about it. It seems like they're not doing anything. When you think of it, like Pete was just talking about, maybe they are, but maybe they're just so handcuffed because the cart is out of their control. Joe fell down trying to run after it, and now we're just screwed. Yeah, exactly. And the border patrol's handcuffed; they can't do anything. So, yeah,
right.
I think I heard it was 1.5 million gotaways just this year alone across the border.
So, if you just take a quarter of the 1.5. You now have a small army in this country.
Well, like Pete was saying, a handful of people to take down a couple buildings. What about power stations and things like that? Mm-hmm. These guys probably know more than we do about what places would make the biggest impact and the easiest ones to get to. You're not even talking cyber attack. You're talking physical stuff at this point. So
right.
And
right.
I guess you can't guarantee anything, but something is bound to happen because there are just so many people that hate the United States, and it's so easy, seems like, to get in here right now.
Mm-hmm.
How could it not? How would, if you hated the United States, how could you not seize that opportunity?
Correct.
Oh yeah.
We got a question here. Why from Ghetto? Why at this point do you think the powers that be are pointing us to this obvious information? We've known it for years. When the mainstream reports on it, that's when I get suspicious.
Yeah, when they get their talking orders, their script.
they're just now allowed to talk about it because they have a script. Yeah. Because they can't avoid it anymore.
I think that's exactly it. It's gotten so big that they can't keep a lid on it. So now it's like, all right, let's get ahead of it. You know, like from a public relations standpoint, a company makes a mistake, they're going to try and put out a press release. Hey, we screwed up over here. Try and get ahead of it. My fear is they keep bringing up, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if you feel differently, but they keep bringing up all these people of interest, countries of interest coming through our border. Mm-hmm. Because I honestly think somebody somewhere in DC who's actually doing their job has said, something's going to happen very soon. And we need to get ahead of this. And they said, well, we better start kind of warning the people somehow.
Right.
Yeah. That way, in a year from now, when something does happen or however long it takes, they can go back and say, listen, we've been talking about this for a while now. You know, we've been trying to figure this stuff out. Yep. So it's not like we haven't been doing anything. And people completely forget about the year and a half, 2 years before that, where they just opened up the floodgates and didn't even care, you know?
Right. So now they have an excuse or an out to say, well, we've been talking about it, but yet they did nothing.
Yeah. Plausible deniability. Yep.
Yeah.
Not our fault.
Yeah. Kanzi says, distract the masses with ludicrous topics so the government can loot the country when the people's backs are turned. Yeah, they've been doing that, always have been.
Yeah, Kenzie's up there in Canada, and I don't know which is worse, here or Canada these days, but.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're a little better armed down here.
Yes.
Which is why they really don't like us.
Yes. Sean says, comment from Sean, one man with a pistol shut down all travel in Columbus, Ohio years ago, and he was only one person, but shot at cars on the main highway for weeks till they caught him. Yes, and I remember that. And they literally broadcasted it on the news on 270, and he was running down the highway, and troopers had the highway shut down and were literally chasing him down the highway until he surrendered. Totally crazy. But, you know, we're not, the American people aren't as stupid as the government thinks we are.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of idiots, but there are a bunch of us that are idiots. But yes, I think you're right. There's a lot of us that just get complacent until we get pushed in a corner. Yes. And then that's correct. I don't want to necessarily call us all idiots, but there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, and I agree. But, you know, we now see that, you know, the border crisis, we've been seeing that for years. And now we, as American citizens, are at a point where, okay, who's here that the government says they don't know about? And specifically,
yeah,
since this Israeli Hamas kickoff, which I think is another distraction, but that's just my opinion. They're now talking about sleeper cells in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on sleeper cells, guys?
I wouldn't doubt it one bit. Like I said, China, you've got to be concerned about. They're not going to come over here and blow up a power plant, something like that. They're going to come over here and try to get information, try to get intel, things like that, maybe, and sort of implant themselves for if and when something does get bigger and kicks off or whatever. These guys from the Middle East don't give a crap about themselves. They'll come blow shit up, whether it's with them in it or whatever. So you could be looking at power stations. You could be looking at refineries. We just had one here in Colorado that wasn't it went down, not for nefarious reasons or anything, but our prices of gas here in Colorado went up 75 cents a gallon. You have the thing, the cyber attack a couple years ago in Florida or somewhere out east that really jacked up the diesel supply and things like that. So if they were to come over here and do something like that, these yahoos want mass casualties, though. So I don't think it would be a refinery. I don't think it would be maybe a power station. They want mass casualties. So it would be a stadium, somewhere in the city, something like that.
I think it depends who's doing it. You're spot on. That's a good point, Dale. You're spot on, because a terrorist is trying to create a political statement or a publicity statement. They're going to go for the Statues of Liberty, the Empire State Buildings, the Walk of Hollywood Walk of Fame, something very well known. Even if the body count is low, they're going to look for that wow factor.
Yeah.
What scares me is operatives who understand the bigger picture, and they're like, okay, well, he's doing that over there, I'm going to go and burn down this railroad station and screw up the East Coast for 3 days,
right,
or do something like that.
Right.
But that you have a very valid point that the terrorists they want the fatalities, but they do want that wow factor so that they can be put in the news and everyone can claim credit.
Right.
It's the quiet ones scare me.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna throw this out here. We all know of the chicken plants burning and all these other food processing manufacturing. What if those were some sort of small scale planned attack?
by us or them?
Combination of both. I'll say that. You never heard, the outcome of how did it catch fire? What was it? Was it ruled arson? What was it? Nothing.
Yeah. That's what concerns me, because the rational part of my brain says that there's probably, you know, reasons for all these things happening. And it seems like there's a whole lot of it, sort of like the train derailments. The numbers for train derailments haven't really gone up, but it seems like it, because right. once that starts happening, that's all we hear about. Right. But then right. there's the other side of me that thinks about all these things that they do cover up and don't answer questions about, you know, the Vegas shooting. That you know, you've heard nothing about that. The transgender shooter that, you know, that had the manifesto, nothing about that. So when they don't speak to these things, it does make you wonder what really is going on with this yeah. stuff.
Yeah.
That they don't just come out and either deny it or say something. But no, they just choose to just let it go. But there's other news to worry about. We don't need to worry about that. Move along.
Move along. There's nothing to see here. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, as Grandpa Ice Cream falls up the steps yet again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's kind of him. That takes effort. You know, I've in my college heydays, I had to drink quite a bit to fall up a staircase. Yeah. I'm just saying, yeah. you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what, I'm not going to say keeps me up at night, but keeps me thinking, who's in this country that the government doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do. Just like 9/11, they knew what was going on. Pearl Harbor, they knew what was going on. And for one reason or another, still happened. So,
well, but what's funny is they may know who they are. They may not know where they are.
Right.
Yeah. Had an inkling, I suppose I should say, yeah. not knew what right. was going on.
They may have an understanding that, oh, wow, we've got these people. That may be why we're seeing. I mean, think about the October 4th, the stupid cell phone thing. Right. And we were all waiting for zombies to come up. We're all making jokes online. But yeah. they did that October 4th, October 7th. They hit Israel hard. Mm hmm. What was that about? Like, that timing just bugs the hell out of me. That was just right. way too convenient. And what's scary is we're sending our troops now, or getting ready to go other places. But who's going to defend here?
Yeah. Who's going to mine the store? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting you say that, because everybody was all up in arms about that and talking about it. And I was like, today doesn't matter. I mean, everybody's focused on today. But to me, it's a, why are they doing this? And what's down the line from this? What are they making sure? Why are they making sure they got their ducks in a row right now? That's what I was concerned about. And you didn't even think about that just a few days later. That happens. And who knows where all of this goes? I mean, it takes one stupid action from one stupid nation. Yeah. And this becomes a bigger issue and a bigger issue and a bigger issue. And then all of a sudden, we are in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And by the way, folks, everybody that came in that I personally did not get to speak to you, I would like to say to you, welcome and thank you for joining tonight. These applause go out to you. Thank you so much for coming in. And the thing that gets me, guys, so let's get into the meat of it. Now, we know that there are probably sleeper cells in this country. I won't deny it that there isn't. I won't say that there isn't. I won't say there is. The possibility is too high for them not to be here. So, as red-blooded, outstanding Americans and preppers and 2A and just ordinary people, what do we do to protect ourselves for some things we can do to be aware in our day-to-day life, if in case, and I pray it never happens, some type of event kicks off on our home soil.
You want to take this, Peter, or you want me to?
Sorry, the dogs decided to have a brawl around the corner here. I just kind of heard them getting dragged off. Oh, actually, it was Sister Pepper and somebody got into it over there. Anyway, geez. The most important thing, I think, besides, and this is just my opinion, besides, you know, making sure you have your basics, your food, your water, your pews, you know, your medical stuff, understand the risks in your area, right? Understand what's going on around you, your situational awareness. We all kind of throw that out there a lot, but there are things you can practice. Do you go to a mall a lot? You live in a city. The concerns in, say, New York City or Dallas will be very different than where, like, y'all live, where I live, right? Very different areas, different demographics, different culture. Be familiar with that and then the changes. So if you know there's a certain, every town has a rhythm, if you will, it has its life. And all of a sudden something abruptly is different. You need to take note of that and ask yourself, why is that the case? What has happened here that this is strange? And understanding how your area works will inform you as to what your risks probably are going to be. Yeah. And then that will make you decide, well, I need more food or I need body armor, whatever, you know, it is you think you need.
Yeah. And that's, before Dale, before you go, I just want to throw this out to include this. What is your guys' take on the Czech group buying up all the U.S.-owned ammunition companies and, what is it, Salt Lake City ammunition, stopping selling ammunition and pew-pews to regular consumers?
I hadn't heard about the Czech group. Yes. But I had heard that Winchester was, once they sold out, basically, they weren't going to be able to produce any more this year for one reason or another. I have heard a couple things about that, which is concerning, makes you wonder, which means the price of ammo is going to skyrocket once again. But I hadn't heard about the Czech group.
Yes. But, so Dale, go continue down the line of how can we now deal with and what we need to do in case something kicks off in on our home soil.
I agree with Pete when he talks about operational security. I think that is one of those things we've got to, you control what you can control. And that is one of those things that we hear about all this stuff. We see it on the news. We see it on social media, all these different things. There's not a lot we can do about if this group is going to do it. There's not a lot we can do about if these people are coming across the border or not. But there are things we can do as far as keeping your head on a swivel and preparing for some of these things that is more of a local type thing. So I think it is all about control what you can control, worry about that, get that stuff done. And then at the end of the day, you know, you have the hand you were dealt, you've done the best you can with it, and you've just got to go from there. Because honestly, these days, it seems like 40 different directions. We don't know which way it's going to come from. And it's not just the, say, you know, somebody does go after the Statue of Liberty or they go after an oil refinery, something like that. Those most likely will not affect 99% of us, unless you live in that city. If you live in New York, you know, maybe it would. But the things afterwards, those might. And I think those are the things we need to pay attention to as well, is what does that lead to? Like 9/11 led to the Patriot Act, which is basically Americans bending over for the last two decades now. So what does it lead to that does affect us on a personal level? I think that's what matters. We need to pay attention to all this stuff. And we need to, you know, be vigilant about it. But at the same time, you can't be so wrecked about it that you're not thinking about anything else. You're just consumed with what's going on at the southern border because you're blind.
And that's absolutely good advice, because I'm seeing, I don't know if you guys are seeing it as well. I know you guys probably are. There are people in the chats, especially when you get a big chat going on some of the really mega channels. Mm-hmm. People start to panic. You can see it in the chat. And then other people are trying to calm them down, like, no, wait a minute, don't, you know, we're getting a little meteoric here, but it's important for folks, like Dale was saying, understand and say, okay, this is what's happening. If you need to write down, well, what can I do if they have a fight in, I don't know, Egypt, it'll mess up the Suez Canal and I get, I don't know, rice. My rice is imported from that part of the world, so maybe I need to buy more rice, you know. Right. Start looking at how the puzzle pieces fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because or pick a prep, pick something like I'm going to check batteries this weekend. Spend 2 hours checking all your batteries. I've said that a lot on my channel. Yeah. Do 2 hour canned good inventory. Just right. Take 2 hours, get the family, pull all the cans out, write down what you need. If you're not using it, don't buy it anymore. Right. And pick that subject and then leave it alone because you got the rest of your life to do. Otherwise, you'll just make yourself insane. And exactly. Then your head won't be level if something does happen. You'll yeah. already go into it frazzled.
Right. And Ghost Lincoln said, roaming prepper, yes, doing good. I'm focusing a lot on certain preps and skills right now. Right, folks. Everybody in the chat, we all know what we lack, okay? Or what we need to get more of or fix or buy or do whatever. And as everybody, any content creator will tell you, do not go over your budget. Stay within your budget. Now is not the time to be charging up the credit cards, you know, buying 15,000 rounds. If you find them cheap, call me. I'll go half with you. But, you know, things like that. Stay within your budget. Get what you use. Just don't buy stuff to be buying it to have it. Buy what you need. And, you know, I got some things I'm working on that I want to do for backups to my backup, to things I already have in place that will enhance what I have in place as a backup to them if need be. Yeah. Don't panic. Both of these gentlemen, both of them said, and I have to agree with them, we have to stay level-headed. Yeah. That's mission critical one, because there is nothing worse than making a decision based on emotions. The decision has to be made logically and precisely of how your decision will affect your family long-term.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't buy scared. You know, think of it like this. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird I say this because I'd love to have, you know, 100,000 rounds of ammunition, body armor, things like that. But if you're maxing your credit cards out, getting all that stuff because you think that because of the southern border and the, you know, the sleeper cells and things like that, that's going to become an issue. You're spending all your money on that, but you're forgetting about the food and the other things that are going to sustain you for the 80 other possible scenarios that go on, that could go on. You may be sitting in a house full with you know, a bunch of guns, ammo, and all that stuff, and not be able to feed yourself, and then you're in that situation.
Right.
Now, it's weird because I'd love to have all that, but I don't have the money for that. So
you and me both. I don't.
No, and it's a understanding how to budget is super important to prepping. A lot of us think about the skills and the gear, but we don't talk about, there you go halfsies. That's actually a great point. You know, like you save buying in bulk, but you're going to put 10,000 rounds of ammo. Someone just said in the chat, like, where are you going to put it? Right. That's an insane amount.
Where are you going to put that?
But if you have the three of us, we're in the same town and we're like, okay, well that comes out to X per guy. Well, that becomes a lot more manageable, you know, or you get three more people and now everybody, but you save on that reduced cost per unit, right? The economy of scale you get to benefit from, you know, talk to your friends, even if you have to say, oh, I'm doing it because of inflation. Would you like to go halvesy on the canned goods? Sure. You don't have to tell them you're a prepper. If they're a knucklehead and don't want to listen, convince them they're saving money. That's just as good.
Exactly. Especially food. Go half on a cow. Go half on a lamb.
I was just going to say that, Vision. Yeah, good point.
Go ahead. Talk about it.
I was just going to say, if you get your local butcher or whatever, I don't have the room to put a whole cow in my house. I've done this once in the past, and I haven't done it recently, but I plan on trying to do it, getting somebody to go in. Maybe two people or three people to go in and get a bunch of meat, get it, just things like that. The ammunition, like Pete was talking about, that's not only good because it saves you money on that, but if you get four or five people that are on the same page with this stuff, that are ready for this stuff, that makes you stronger right there without, you know, having to have, you know, landmines set up in your yard and things like that.
Although that wouldn't hurt having landmines set up in the yard, you know.
Hey, I got SHTF plans. They don't involve landmines, but Nothing I do right now because it's it, you know, I'll probably end up in jail, but
you and me both.
Postman so comes.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But all my Ohio people that are in the house, you heard the conversation about halvesies. Okay, I'll leave it at that. But you know, folks, don't panic buy. Mm-hmm. Like both Pete and Dale said, don't panic buy. Stay focused. Don't worry about what's going on across the pond, because this whole thing, people of interest are crossing our border. They're on our turf. They're in right. our home. That's what we need to be concerned about. And what I've done personally is upped my situational awareness. Number one, I stay away from large venues with crowds now. Yeah. I just won't do
it. If you can.
If I can. And, you know, I went to my son's football game the other last weekend, and I'm sitting there like, okay, this isn't a large crowd, but what if?
You get nervous, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't get nervous, but I'm sitting here looking because it's an outdoor venue.
You're running the scenarios.
Yeah, I'm running the scenario, and I'm like, okay, I need to get my son, the COO. We got to get to the truck. I'm going to have to smash through some vehicles and go over some sidewalks to get out of here to get to the highway to get home. Yeah. So those are the things I'm thinking about.
You know, to your point, that sounds like Red Dawn, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Running through the football field.
Get to the cabin. Yeah.
But you think about it. We travel so much. We go, you know, because I represent my company at a lot of events. I'll park in certain areas. We'll back in facing out closer to the exit aisle. So I know I'm, even if I have to walk further to the stadium or to the venue, I'm under a light and I'm closer to the exit. We'll get seats that are near an exit. You know what I mean? Like we'll try to kind of position ourselves in advance. And then, cause you don't want to be like you're pointing out, you know, you have 500 people in the bleachers and you're like, 352 and 353 smack in the middle. You got 200 people on each side.
Happening.
How are you going to get out?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like you. I park my truck far away in a corner, and we sit close to the because the stadium, you come in and go down to sit.
So you're up on the top.
Yeah, so I sit like two or three rows from the top so we can get out quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I even, what was it, the weekend they called for the jihad around the world, I called my son and I even asked him, do you want to come home this weekend? Just talking to him. He said, nah, I'm good, Dad. I'll stay here. And I said, okay, just be aware, extra aware of your surroundings because of this. He said, all right. And I'm sure he did his thing and survived. But, you know, those are the things that are going through my mind.
Yeah, and that's kind of the prepper mentality that we should all have. And irregardless of what's going on at the border, there are plenty of opportunities and plenty of things that happen on a daily basis that we should be thinking. That's the way we should be thinking about things these days, whether it's just going to the grocery store or it is going to a large event. That is that mentality, that mental part of preparedness that is just as important as having the food stored, as having the water stored, as having the things that will get you by if, you know, things just completely go to crap. You know, the grocery store is 3 days without food, which is actually a misnomer. It's actually probably 3 hours until they'll be without food. But yeah, it's just those things that we need to think about that doesn't have anything to do with spending money and all that. But it is those things. You stay out of a situation. You stay out of trouble. And you're able to watch that from afar, so to speak.
Yeah,
you're going to be better off. Yeah,
well, you'll survive 100% of the fights you don't get into.
Absolutely, yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the whole key. If I don't have to go or need to stay away from it, I'm better off. You know, one of our daughters wanted to go to a concert. I said, nope, you're not going. You can't go. Yeah. And they were like, why? I said, well, because the world is getting more mayhemic and there's mayhem abound and I want to make sure that you're safe. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, okay. I really didn't want to go anyway, but I was just asking.
Yeah. I get anxious around large groups of people because it seems like the more people you get in one spot, the more the IQ decreases. And it's just so unpredictable that it doesn't take much to kick something off when you have that many people. And then people, just like, I suppose, just like sheep and cattle, they just follow each other. So yeah. If something were to happen, it just really makes me nervous. And if I don't have an exit or an easy out, I'm like, you know what? I love this band or whatever, but yeah. I got to get out of here.
I'm hyperventilating. Yeah. And, you know, my dad taught me a long time ago when I was little, you never sit and you go in a restaurant, you never sit with your back to the door. Yep. He would never. I mean, he doesn't care who he was with. He'd say, excuse me, I need to sit in this chair. And yeah. I'm like, why? He said, as a man, you never sit with your back to the door because you want to see what's going on just in case something happens.
You want to watch a good example of how to sit in a restaurant. Find a restaurant that has a bunch of cops in it at lunchtime. Because one, they probably got good food. Two, they got a good price because the cops don't get paid enough. Exactly. Watch how they sit. They will mm-hmm. find the weirdest angle table and sit in this zigzag. And you're like, y'all are mental. No, they're not mental. They all want to be able to get up and draw.
Yep.
If they have to get up and go.
Exactly.
Watch what they do. They train for this. The good ones anyway, they train regularly with this in the back of their mind.
Yeah. And I have a friend who's a retired police officer. And he said, you will never, or it's very rare to see police officers in that type of situation and sitting in a booth. I said, why? Something happened here 30 years ago where somebody came in to rob something. There were police officers in a booth. None of them could get to draw their weapon, and they shot all the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yeah, to your point, Pete, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
It's funny. All this reminds me of talking with Brian a while back, and he's got sort of a security background and has talked about this too, but he's also talking about how the mob sort of has the same type of mentality. But he was talking about how he never, because of stories he's heard about the mob, he never drives with somebody sitting behind him.
Hey.
You can't see him in the mirror and you don't know if they got a gun to your head.
You got that right. Yes. And yeah. And folks, the dude says you can have all the equipment and all the food and water and ammo. Doesn't matter if you don't know a thing in SHTF. Cover, 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 cover. Save lives. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not just concealment, but cover. There's a difference between concealment and cover. So, yes, I agree 100%. And by the way,
if you're going to invest that much money in that stuff, invest in the skills. Go take some classes.
I was just going to mention that. Train. You've got to train not only with your gear, but go to the range or go somewhere where you can train instead of just shooting at a paper target in front of you. Somewhere where you can run and shoot and prone and shoot and conceal and shoot and cover and shoot.
Yeah.
As well.
Have you seen that video, Keanu Reeves? I think it's an old one. Yeah,
at that training center for
what it's called. Taren's training. If I ever get to Vegas, I won't say I don't care how much it costs, but from what I understand, it's a pretty penny to go to his place and train.
That'd be a blast.
Yes, but I would do it in a heartbeat if I just had money laying around. Yeah. Yep. But folks, you gotta train with
Search around because different ranges. I'm a member of a shooting club here, and we have tactical bays. And so, I go Friday mornings if there's no meetings and there's nobody there. Right, you got a few families shooting on the 22 range, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you can set out a folding table and run drills. I've got sand in my mags, jammed up my pistol because I was dropping my mags as I was moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the second round, I went through my little targets and I jammed up my pistol. And then I had to do a malfunction drill. And that's not things people do at a paper range. Paper's good to become competent. But doing transitions, right? If you're using two weapons, you have a long gun and a handgun. And, you know, I've gotten hung up in a sling I thought was awesome. And I was like, nope, not so awesome.
Hey,
take it off.
You and me both. I was doing some training with a couple of guys, and we were doing transition from long to handheld.
Yep.
And so I'm shooting with my long gun, and the sling comes apart. And it was and I made the last shot and it was empty. I tossed it on the ground and didn't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. Pulled out, you know, and kept continue. Right on moving. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but all those are good points about things that most people don't think about. They go buy a firearm, they buy some ammunition, and they don't think about those types of situations. It's more of a burglar coming to your house. That's the type of situation they think about. They don't think about these situations where you're going to actually have to do things like that. And again, there's so many different scenarios that you can't be super focused on that.
You can't train almost, for all of them.
It's almost fun to do that, though, and useful at the same time.
But you can do drills even at the static range. If that's all you have, practice shooting and swap your mag. See how long it takes you to do it. Shoot two rounds, drop the mag, swap, see how it works.
Yep.
Or have someone load your mag and stick one of those red training bullets inside the mag somewhere. So you shoot, malfunction. Now you got to clear your weapon and swap mag.
Yeah.
Play those games. If you can get a training partner, even better.
Yep. I got a video that is way overdue that I got to finish up with a particular training system that I use. It's both live fire and dry fire.
Okay.
So I'll be dropping that shortly, and it's killer. I mean, it literally tracks everything from how long it takes you to draw until you get on target and literally fire. It tracks that whole timing and that whole process. So that's something I'm doing. But folks, we got to train because and I lost the comment. Talking about exercise, you know, I dropped a video. Pete talks about it all the time. Angry Prepper talks about it. I know Dale talks about it. Folks, you got to get out and get exercise. I don't care if you just walk. You know, you ain't got to go to the gym and try to pound 500 pounds in the weight room, but get out and get the cardio work in, because you never know what's going to happen. And I heard an amazing quote the other day. It said, men do not rise to the occasion. They fall to their level of training.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, folks, we got to get out and train.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in your Second Amendment rights, I'm trying to be very, very nice in saying this. If you don't have any pew-pews or seed dispenser because you just don't like them, well, then you need to plan something how you're going to defend yourself and your family if something happens.
Yeah. I think, you know, to each their own, but if you are taking that approach, you got a pretty big hole in your preps.
Yes.
And that's a personal choice if you're going to do that. But you do need to figure out, okay, I'm not going to have the pew-pews or anything like that. But you've got to figure out what are you going to do if. And not all scenarios devolve into a gunfight. So it's not like you're totally screwed if that's your feeling on things. But at the same time, there are a lot where that will be necessary or something will be necessary. And if you're going that route, you're sort of, you know, just saying, I don't know how to put this. You're not saying that you're okay with it, but saying that, hey, that, you know, I'm hoping that this doesn't ever get to this point, because if it does, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just, you know, that so much of a pacifist that I'm just going to, you know, leave it up to God, basically. And good idea, too. But I don't think I could just let somebody off me. And because I didn't have a way to defend myself or my family, it just wouldn't happen.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, folks, the key is, you know, we don't know if or when anything could kick off in the United States. Doesn't matter what state it is. But I guarantee you, if something happens, it's going to be well planned and it's going to cause massive damage and chaos at the same time, because that's the goal of the enemy. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to single out a group of people, but that's what it is. They, like you said, Pete, they're going to do something that's going to cause massive chaos and casualty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
You don't know what happens after that initial event either these days. Like I said earlier, it's not just a handful of people. We're talking hundreds of people. It could be a coordinated attack. So one thing happens, what happens after that? Then what is the retaliation for those things? And then where does all of that lead? So yeah, it's keep your head on a swivel these days. And you know, this is just one aspect of it. Then you've got the China aspect. You've got the Russia aspect. You've got the Middle East aspect. There's so many. And then you've got the United States trying to tear us down from the inside out. So it's like, you know, like I said earlier, control what you can control. Do what you can do, because that's really all you can do.
Right. And as Kenzie said, how many people are not trained with weapons, yet they own weapons in the U.S.? You know what? We have, what is it, 300 million in the country?
Yeah.
Or something, some crazy number. And we are the most well-armed private army on the planet because of our Second Amendment. I'd rather have my neighbor who has had no training be able to look and see who the bad guy is and attempt to shoot at them than not to be able to do anything, sitting there screaming for help. And now not only do I got to deal with what's in front of me, but I got to worry about them too. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Although I would say that I wish more people, well, it's not that hard to learn the basics of being a responsible gun owner.
Yeah.
So just go out and do it. But most people, a lot of people get scared by some of the things they see on TV, and they'll go out, or they get scared because Joe Biden or Obama was talking about taking away all your guns and stuff. And then they go out, buy a gun. It sits in their safe. They don't do a thing with it.
I know so many people like that.
What's that?
I know so many people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
And
it takes one day. Go out and take a class. Yeah. Go out and learn what exactly that
and
you've
I'll
got.
And I'll run into them safe. A year later. I knew a guy who bought a beautiful handgun, an HK. I ran into him 8 months later at a business meeting. I'm like, dude, how is it? Did you shoot it? Oh, no, it's still in the box. Like, what?
Yeah. He's a collector.
It collects dust.
Exactly.
You need to use this. Be competent with it, at least. And I asked him, well, did you at least tear it down, you know, clean it, get the grease out so it'll function?
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
No. Yeah. I mean, the range
I couldn't go do through, that. I'd have to go just play with it a little bit.
Yeah, you and me both. I mean, we're big kids when it comes to that. I want to see what the recoil is. I want to see how fast I can load it, blah, blah, blah. But the range around the corner from us has ladies' night on Friday nights. And I know the owner, and I was telling him, I want to, teach the COO, to shoot and handle herself. So when she's out with the girls or the boy and whatever, he said, nope, bring her here. Let another female teach her how to shoot. So, because she's not going to listen.
For all you single prepper dudes out there, that's a great way to go meet yourself.
Exactly.
Wife.
Exactly. Exactly. But I took her out in the backyard and handed over the Glock to her, and she did exceptionally well. And she said, I want a pink one. So I'm going to go get one Cerakoted just for her.
Mine Cerakoted her SIG Louis Vuitton, then turned around and did her HK Apocalyptic, which I was not expecting. And I'm like, you're like all over the map, hon. And she's like, but they're cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And they look
and
great.
Honestly, that is the most irrelevant part of the whole the whole process anyway.
Exactly. Oh,
but it makes her happy, and she'll carry it and be comfortable with it and has been trained to know how to use it. I don't care if she wanted it green with bunny rabbits on it.
She's like, which one do you want? You want the Louis Vuitton or you want the zombies?
Yeah, exactly. And I told her, when in doubt, empty the magazine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
shoot till the bad thing goes away.
Exactly. Shoot till the threat has been neutralized. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's 7:36. Man, time flies.
I'm telling you.
You guys are very informative. First of all, I want to say to everybody that's here, been here, came in, thank you for stopping by. We're going to continue a little bit longer. Then I'm going to let these two amazing gentlemen go because I don't want to take up too much more of their time. I truly appreciate Pete and Dale, the roaming prepper and survivalist prepper, for joining me for this great conversation. Folks, if you have questions for either survivalist prepper or the roaming prepper, please put your question in all caps. So what's the number one thing, guys, that we need to be concerned about with these people of interest now in our country?
Well, that's a tough one when you talk about the number one thing, because I go back to sort of what I was talking about earlier, and I know this is sort of cliche, but it's that general well-rounded preparedness, thinking about all different situations, because we honestly just don't know. We all have our ideas and our thoughts on what could possibly happen, but there are so many, like I think Pete was just saying this too, there's so many, whatever the group is, whatever country that group is from, which can be 15 right now. Whether you're talking about Hezbollah, whether you're talking about Iran, China, North Korea, I mean, whoever, you have no idea. And what their intentions are, you really have no idea. It really depends on who it is. So I think it all boils down to that situational awareness, keeping your head on a swivel, doing what you can do locally, and just that general well-rounded preparedness. Because if you're doing that stuff, you're working yourself out into a situation where you're going to be ready for quite a few things that could come your way rather than just one thing that could come your way. Cause we just don't know. We know something's probably going to happen. I've, like I said in the beginning, that I've been things are so much different than when I first started prepping. There's so much more urgency these days than when I first started. Back then it was sort of you got to do this because this and that. And these days it just feels like, you know what? Something's coming.
There's an urgency. Yeah. It's not hurricane, earthquake, maybe a riot. Yeah. I think 50 Cent said it best on Instagram, where he said, "Hey, President, wake up. We in trouble, brother." And he got a bunch of heat for that.
Yeah, he did. Wrong. Yeah.
He is not wrong. To add to Dale's point, because of what I do, you know, I was even the served in the S5 shop in my old unit. So like public affairs, knowing other languages helps. I speak Spanish pretty darn well. I mean, it's not my first language, but I'll see groups of folks. I go out to restaurants, whatever, and I'll chit chat and people just like sharing. And I hear the damnedest things. Oh yeah, we saw these Russian guys. Oh really? Oh, that was interesting to know, you know? And then, I mean, you never know what they're going to tell you. They'll tell you things about where they find, you know, I'll ask folks, where'd you get that bread? That looks really good. Oh, I got it from this panaderia, you know, 5 miles down the road, and they're in the country, and the bread is super good and it's super cheap. And it's like, okay, I just found another location where I can purchase product if I need to. But having that second language, it does not hurt. Whatever it may be, Spanish would be a not bad one to start with, but hell, Chinese, Arabic, Russian, take your pick.
Right.
Spanish should be pretty good, because they're the ones, you know, they're not the ones you really got to worry about that are crossing the border.
Yeah. Right.
As far as, you know, a sort of an attack like we're talking about, but they're going to have the information because they're going across with, you know, or it's a possibility they could be coming across with some of those other people too. So you could get, you know, some good information. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand Spanish a little bit, but Don't ask me to speak it. I know like four words.
No, I speak.
I'm pretty good at it. So's the COO. She's half Puerto Rican, so you know, we between the two of us, we can figure it out. And as one of my favorite movies, Training Day, you know, as he said, you need to learn that because it could save your life. Mm-hmm. Gray Man Theory says, someone put it to me well. If you can't use my slingshot better than you can use your pew pew. I now have a slingshot and a new pew pew.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. But guys, I want to thank both of you. Folks, please, if you have not subscribed to both the Survival Prepper, Survivalist Prepper, and the Roaming Prepper, these guys put out amazing content. Amazing. And with that, I'm going to let each one of these guys give some closing thoughts, comments, and we're going to let you guys go. And I appreciate everybody coming to hang out with us this evening.
Well, I appreciate it, Vision. I think you're overstating it a little bit for me anyway, so, but I'll take it.
I think we just like causing mischief, the two of us, is what it is.
Yeah.
That's okay. And before you finish, I'm going to tell an interesting story, folks. So Pete and Dale have known each other longer than I've known probably either one of them. And one day I get this email from Survivalist Preppers. Dale wanted me to be on their live with them, and I've watched them forever, and I'm like, how do you know me? Why me? I'm a small channel, blah blah blah. And then next thing you know, Pete says, oh yeah, I was on there and blah blah, we talked, and I told him about you. So thank you.
Look at you now. I mean, yeah. Look at, you got like 80 people watching you. You know, it's, yeah, it takes a while, but yeah.
The numbers. I just try to put out great content, and with help from great guys like you, we make it happen.
And I think that's it, too. It's more than just YouTube. You do a lot, yeah, that isn't on YouTube and all mm-hmm. that. So, and it's sort of a, with me, I mentioned this with Brian a while back when we did a show. With me, sometimes it's therapy because we get so inundated with all this bad stuff, and this could happen and that could happen. Yeah. And just being able to get on and vent about it and talk about it and have other people that feel the exact same way about the things sort of, you know, helps you kind of deflate a little bit and not, you know, go hide in the corner in your basement with your 10,000 rounds of ammunition surrounding you.
Correct, because I'll end up sitting down there with all that and just like start counting them one by one. And, you know, 2 years later, I'm the only human being left on the planet.
Be down there being like Rain Man or something.
Exactly. Yes.
Definitely 370,000 bullets.
Truth.
Exactly. So, closing comments, guys.
You know, I think I said it a few times, but just prep locally. Do what you can do. Control what you can control. I think that's the main thing. Keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention to all this stuff because it does seem like something, who knows what the hell it is, but something is going to affect us, whether that's economically, whether, you know, whatever it is, something is going to affect us in a bigger way than just, you know, the normal things, I think. Yeah. It's the way it feels like to me anyway.
I agree. You're absolutely right. Pete.
And to add to Dale, make sure you know how to budget, write it down. Don't make yourself crazy. If you're frazzled, you're going to make bad decisions. Pick a subject, batteries, canned food, bread, whatever it is. Focus on that and then leave it alone. Go on with the rest of your life. But get to know your area. Get to know the people around you. Get to know the rhythm of the city, the town you're in. Because if something goes wrong, it really helps to know who's who. You don't want to have to figure it out on the fly. Too many of us now, we spend too much time, you know, in front of the TV, the Xbox, the phone, whatever. Get out, go walk around your neighborhood, listen to the sounds. And trust me, if something goes wrong, you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we've been hypnotized by technology. Everything's too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, I dug out my retirement phone the other day, which is an old Nokia flip phone. When I retire, I'm throwing away the smartphone and I'm using that. And that's it. Yeah. But folks, I want to thank everybody for coming out and chiming in and sharing information and talking. Pete and Dale, you guys are awesome. I want to thank you. And folks, I'll leave y'all with this. Keep prepping, because your family depends on you and it depends on your life. This is Vision Preparedness. God bless everybody, and we will see you in the next video. Have a good night, everybody, and stay safe and keep prepping.